This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for...
Here we go.
Kickoff. With Boomer Esiason and Mike Valenti.
Let's get it going. Week 16 kickoff with Boomer and Valenti. I have to tell you, I have never been more excited to do this show. And no, it's not because of Thursday Night Football. We'll get to that in a moment. And it's not because I have a new nickname for Boomer. But we get to talk about Jets dysfunction. Boomer, how you doing, buddy?
You know, I'm doing all right. I spend 2 days talking about the Jets dysfunction here in New York, and I'm telling you, it's endless. And the more I see people reacting to the story that was in The Athletic about Woody Johnson, the more intense and the more crazy the story becomes.
We're going to get to it in a second. I know we have business to handle. It does begin with a Thursday Night Football recap brought to you by T-Mobile. Head to your local T-Mobile store. Get a great deal on an iPhone 16 Pro. We'll be brief on this. Broncos, Chargers. Yes, the free kick. Funny, interesting, unique. But here's my bigger question. Boomer, are you concerned about the Charger defense? The last 2 weeks, they've kind of got lit up.
Yeah, they have gotten lit up against good teams. And, you know, they were talking about it last night with Khalil Mack and, of course, Joey Bosa. Are they 100%? Are they not 100%? We're going to be talking about T.J. Watt a little bit later on in the show, talking about whether or not he's 100% getting ready to go against the Ravens. You know, everybody is dealing with something. And now, all of a sudden, maybe some of the warts are showing for the Chargers just simply because they're playing better teams. Now, I will say this was a game that Justin Herbert had to have. And he made some great throws against the Bronco defense, which had been pretty good as well, by the way. So it was a game that Jim Harbaugh, I think, needed in the worst way. They had a win at home. And the great thing about what happened at the end of the first half, yeah, the free kick was interesting, but Jim Harbaugh calls timeout and forces the punt. And if he doesn't call timeout and forces a punt there, then this play never happens. And I don't think the game flips the way that it does in the second half. So a good job by Jim, a better job by his quarterback, Justin Herbert. And it looks like both of these teams are going to probably sneak into the playoffs, although both Indianapolis and Cincinnati do have a path to the playoffs if the Broncos start to trip up here.
All right, let's get to the story. We're going to spend some time on this. Per The Athletic, Woody Johnson, let's see, killed a trade based on Madden ratings, has friends who have nothing to do with football sitting in on high-level ops meetings. Oh, and Woody and family rip players inside the locker room. Oh, and Woody's teenage kids wield influence over the organization. If you put that in one of the worst movies ever made, Draft Day, I would have found it to be highly unrealistic. The fact that this is real... Boomer, we spent time on it in Detroit. I can't imagine what the hell was going on at the Fan in New York. How the hell is this real? How?
Because it is. That's why. And, you know, I hate to sit here and have to say yes. I can confirm pretty much 90% of the story. There are certain things that I can't confirm, but other things I can. And it is bizarre to say the least, and it's one of the reasons why for 14 straight seasons the Jets haven't even come close to sniffing the playoffs. So it's a job that comes with a warning. And, you know, it's interesting that you have this 33rd team with Rick Spielman and Mike Tannenbaum as a search firm trying to get the right people that are going to fit that organization. Now, Mike Tannenbaum lived through this. Yeah. He was there with Parcells, and he went all the way through with, of course, Rex Ryan. So, you know, he knows more about the inner workings of that organization than anybody. And you got to hope that whoever they are interviewing or trying to put together with the Jets, he is warning them, this is what you're stepping into. Now, a lot of these guys would love to have one of these jobs because there aren't that many jobs like this out there. But you're going to have to deal with a very, very weird situation, strange internal situation.
Yeah, and look, I think it makes the gig radioactive. It just does. I mean, look, if I'm trying to bring in a head coach, this is worse than David Tepper. Like, we may think that David Tepper's petulant and angry and vindictive and he'll snap and do things. At least I've never heard of people having to walk around the facility calling him ambassador. Come on. I mean, it gets to a point, if I'm an owner in the league, I'm looking around and I'm going, Woody, do you mind cleaning it up? You're making us look like a collection of clowns over here. I mean, look, in the 70s, it happened. The NFL had to go to the Giants and go, will you please stop screwing up our biggest market? Hire George Young. Clean it up, Wellington.
Well, this has actually happened with the Jets already, and this was under Leon Hess. And at the end of Leon Hess's ownership tenure, he decided to hire Rich Kotite, who I played for. And Rich Kotite basically ran the franchise into the ground. And Leon recognized that in order to get credibility back, he had to bring somebody in that was going to bring credibility and stability and consistency to the organization. So what did he do? He went and he traded for Bill Parcells. And he got Parcells out of New England, and that was the whole famous, I want to shop for the groceries if I'm cooking the stew, the whole thing. So the Jets are like right there at the same juncture, and I think this article is really so damning and so embarrassing that, you know, they need somebody to come in here and take this team over and not have to deal with an impatient and impetuous owner that's going to be breathing down his neck. And I don't know, like, who are the people? I thought they had the people in place that could handle this. And
well, Joe Douglas is a really good general manager. I'm not telling you he's perfect. He's done a nice job in the drafting, gathering of talent. Boomer, with a straight face, Joe Douglas couldn't execute a trade because Jerry Jeudy's Madden rating wasn't high enough. What? I can't even process that.
That's true. And I have to say, I know Joe personally. Joe has not told me any of these things to me personally, so I can't confirm it through him. But I can say this. Joe Douglas was about as professional a guy as you could have in that position in the NFL. And he never stepped on the toes of his coaches. He never stepped on the toes of his players. He was very low-key during the season, which I love the fact that general managers are that way and they should stay that way. And he really had this team going in the right direction. And all of a sudden, for whatever reason, coming back from London, all hell broke loose. It probably has something to do with the fact that, yes, Woody Johnson was the ambassador of Great Britain, and he didn't want to lose there in London. That's all I could tell you. Because it doesn't make any sense in the way that they went about the things during the season and how now they have to kind of weave their way out of this in order to hire somebody that is legitimate and credible to come in and take this organization over.
All I can tell you is I'm a huge Curb Your Enthusiasm fan.
Yes.
So I'm a fan of the Latte Larry Spite store.
Yes.
I swear to you, I'd love to see the Giants hire Joe Douglas, have him walk back into that building, build a team, and drill the Jets. I know it won't happen, but I do think Joe Douglas is a hell of a GM. I think this situation swallowed him up. Who's in worse shape, Jets or Giants?
Well, I think the Giants have a very good chance of going 0-9 in their 100th season in their building and going 2-15, being the worst team in the league, still 3 games to go, so a lot can still happen. I think that Brian Daboll feels like this season was about saving his job and coaching for his job. Well, if the record is going to be what we all think it's going to be, he's not going to have a job. And I think that the Giants could end up keeping Joe Shane and maybe hiring a coach instead. I feel bad for these coaches because sometimes, you know, you're so eager to take one of these jobs because they're very few and far between that you think that you have the answers. But if you don't have the players,
yeah,
it doesn't matter what answers you have to any of these questions, you're not going to be able to win. And both franchises right now, I would say from a talent standpoint, I think the Giants are worse off. But from an internal dysfunction standpoint, I would say the Jets are 1 in the league and the Giants are 1A.
Yeah, and again, listen, if they keep Shane, it's their prerogative. I don't think he's done a good enough job. This roster's a mess. Every decision he's made has largely been wrong. His affinity for drafting 4-foot-tall corners, I digress. I just, hey, if they keep him, whatever. But I think you throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think it's a complete Aaron Rodgers offseason enema, and you just start over. You try it again. I want to go to the Lions. Look, the Bills dummying them on Sunday, I'm not concerned with. That was an unbelievable day by Josh Allen, but here's what I am concerned with. Aleem McNeil, out for the year. Carlton Davis is going to be out at least until the NFC title game with a broken jaw. David Montgomery was supposed to be out for the year. Then he doctor shopped, got like 17 opinions, and he's going to try to rehab and maybe get back. They're all gone. Here's my question to you, Boomer. They got 22 players on the IR. It's the most in the league. 18 of them on defense. Did this kill the Lions' ability to win the Super Bowl?
I think it did. You know, defense wins championships. I don't care what anybody says. And I'm not saying that they have to have the Bears' defense of 85 or the Ravens' defense of 2000, but you have to have some semblance of a defense so you don't have happen to you what happened to you versus a top quarterback and a top offense in the Bills. So they're going to see the Vikings in a couple weeks, and, you know, we'll find out a little bit more about where they are defensively. I think that they have a really good shot of losing not only the NFC North, but, of course, the number one seed in the NFC. So it's really unfortunate because I'm rooting for Dan Campbell. I'm rooting for Jared Goff, Ben Johnson, of course. Aaron Glenn was a former teammate of mine, so I'd love to see Detroit get there. I just think now this reminds me of a little bit like what happened to Miami last year. Remember, their defense was decimated, and everybody thought maybe they could still win with their offense. But it doesn't work that way in the NFL. You got to have a stout defense, and right now the Lions do not have that.
All right, Calais Campbell's become a big story. Dolphins, it sounds like there's an agreement between Calais Campbell and Chris Greer, Boomer, that if they're eliminated, they're going to release him because he's a vested veteran, a tenured vet. There's no waivers. He can pick his destination and go to a contender. Here's my question to you. Obviously, Calais had a hell of a good year. Almost 40 QB pressures, 11 TFLs. Who's the best fit for Calais Campbell?
Well, he could go back to the Baltimore Ravens. I'm sure they'd love to have him. He also could go to the Detroit Lions. I'm sure they could use him. I would think those would be two of my top situations that I would think so. Maybe the Houston Texans even, for that matter. They could use support on their defensive line as well. So he'll make the right decision. He's not a dope. He knows exactly where to go. And if the Dolphins do this for him, I mean, I think that's a great thing that, you know, a team can actually do for somebody late in his career.
Yeah, take care of the players who take care of you. If you're eliminated, the man's towards the end of his career, give him one crack again to go get a Super Bowl ring. And again, he's respected in every locker room. He is one of the true, like, I don't know, he's one of the true respected figures in the league. I'd love him in Detroit. I was begging for it yesterday. I want to go to Kirk Cousins. This show has been screaming about this for weeks. It finally happened. Cousins is dreadful. I don't know what the hell's going on, and I no longer care. Michael Penix is now your starter. Here's my question. Is he capable of making an impact here, Boomer?
Oh, yes, he is. I'm telling you, I've been saying this now for a month. They've been watching him in practice. All of his teammates love him. The coaches know. Raheem Morris knows. They can see it. And, you know, when you watch him play, he reminds me a lot of Tua Tagovailoa with his accuracy, with his very catchable ball, with his anticipation. I don't know how many throws they'll ask him to make this week against the Giants, but I do believe that he's a big-time player. He can be the difference maker for the Falcons. He's going to bring a youthful energy to that team. The good thing about Kirk Cousins is that he's been reasonable about it, knowing that he hasn't played well for a month. And we knew that it was coming. We all felt like it was going to happen. And this comes after they won a game last week, which is amazing to me. So that tells you all you need to know about the expectations for Michael Penix from his coaching staff and his teammates.
So where's Cousins end up next year? Just for fun, where do you think he ends up?
It could be the Colts. You know, I think if I were the Colts, I would bring him in there because it's a dome, and he's obviously proven that he throws well in the dome. And he'll be a year removed from his from his Achilles. But, you know, will the Colts accept that contract? That's a whole nother story. He's worked the system to his benefit, and God bless him. He's bet on himself at least three different times in his career. I have nothing but respect for him, but it is time to turn over the reins to the younger Penix, and hopefully he makes it through the rest of the season. Here's the thing I worry about. Rookie quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, they haven't taken a hit all year long. And we've seen this with the Giants, with Drew Lock and Tommy DeVito. They both got hurt. So he's got to protect himself. He can't try to do too much. And hopefully Raheem Morris and that offense and everybody else will support the young quarterback. And by the way, they're playing at home. That's the other reason why you would play Michael Penix in
this situation.
And you're playing a dead team. Because the fan base is ready to turn on Kirk Cousins. So give the fans what they want. Give them the youthful energy. Give them the lefty quarterback and let them play against the worst team in the league. And now you have a real chance to have a huge successful debut for this young man.
Yeah, and you brought up the Colts. We can just do this. I'm sorry, but are we done with Anthony Richardson? 17 of 38. It seems like it's seventh or eighth game this year, under 50% completion rate, where 60% is considered average. I don't know how you watch it. I mean, they played a football game with eight turnovers. He can't complete a pass. Boomer, is it over for Richardson and Indy?
It may be. The one thing I will say, though, they didn't help themselves last week. And
no, Jonathan Taylor.
Jonathan Taylor was terrible. And what he did, of all the players in the NFL, if you asked me which player would do what Jonathan Taylor did, he wouldn't even be on a list. Like, I've always thought of him as being like the utmost professional. He's like, he carries himself like Barry Sanders used to carry himself for the Lions. To do what he did is just absolutely so egregious in my mind. And he's a captain of the football team. So to answer your question, I think that Anthony Richardson would get one more year. They'll give him another shot, but they'll bring in somebody that's going to be able to overtake the team at least for a couple years. That's why I think it could be Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, it's interesting for sure. It's one of those situations where I can't watch it. I don't know how a Colts fan does it. I mean, if you can't complete passes. I know, really, we're really reinventing the wheel here, right, Boomer?
That's
but if you can't, right. I've heard if you can't complete passes, you're you can't play quarterback.
You're not going to be very good, yes.
All right. Listen, we got to get to the picks. And Booms, later in the show, I am going to ask you a wild card question outside of Lions and Eagles. I want to talk a little NFC. We really focused on the AFC last week. We'll get to that. We got to do the picks. I am leaning on you two for one game in particular this week. I submit to the universe. I'm letting the ambassador and Lord Scones take over. And, of course, the Sim Spotlight. Don't make a move. It's Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
It's Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
All right, time for some picks and some really, really good games this week. Lots of short spreads. And there's one game in particular. I'm not going to say what it is yet. I am leaning on my boys here because I can't. I'm ping-ponging back and forth. Let's get to the picks.
Picks of the week.
Let's lead off with a delight here. Chiefs hosting the Texans, laying 3.5.
All righty, guys. Listen, Patrick Mahomes is going to play. He's got that low ankle sprain. Look, these games are tight. The Chiefs are tight every year. They've gotten lucky a number of times this year, even in their own building, where you would think that they would have this huge home field advantage, which really hasn't been the case. But I'm going to take the Texans here. I'll take the 3.5 points. I think the game will be tight. And I think the Texans will use this as one of those measuring stick games for themselves, get themselves to think that if they have to go back to Arrowhead, that they can actually win a game in the playoffs.
Yeah, an interesting note. And look, I know Mahomes is a unicorn. We've seen the ankle be an issue in years past, and he guts it out and he scampers around. Texans have the D-line, and they've got the rush to probably neutralize that. And the Chiefs are just not in a position to lay more than a field goal. They don't win games by margin. So I'll take the Texans. But I know we'll get to it, I'm sure, in the weeks ahead. I'm just nervous about C.J. Stroud. It hasn't really turned around. But I'll take Texans getting 3.5. Bengals laying 8.5 hosting the Browns.
Man, it's a lot of points, and it's Dorian Thompson-Robinson playing quarterback for the Browns as now they go to their third guy. So, the Bengals are flying. They're going to score a lot of points in this game. The question is, can they stop the Browns from a backdoor cover? That's what I would worry about in this game. I'm gonna lay the 8.5 points. I'm going to take the Bengals. I could see them scoring like 31 points against this Browns defense. The question is, will there be a late cover touchdown by the Browns late in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, and again, I mean, you're going to third string QB. Bengals offense is lighting everybody up, and you start to wonder, do the Browns lay down their sword? Give me the Bengals, lay the 8.5. This game's fascinating, especially with what we talked about earlier in the show, swirling around this franchise. But the Rams traveling cross country, laying 3 against the Jets.
And I think it's going to be 25 degrees, and it's going to be windy as hell. So neither one of these quarterbacks is going to be too comfortable in this game. But I do like the Rams. You and I have been talking about the Rams now for about 4 or 5 weeks. We talk about their and how physical they've become because of their running game. And that's going to be the thing that's going to kill the Jets, trying to stop Kyron Williams. That's going to be a big part of this game here. I think it's going to be low scoring for sure. I'll take the Rams, and I'll lay the points to the home Jets.
Yeah, I think you make a great point. Like, everybody thinks the Rams are all sizzle and, bombs and Stafford. The reality is they have a really physical really effective ground game. And what travels? Well, it's usually not high-flying passing attacks in December in MetLife. It's going to be a ground attack. And for the Jets, I mean, look, they played all right last week. They covered. They did what they needed to do for the people of America and the listeners of our show. But, yeah, I think the Rams are real, man. I'm going to go with them. I'll lay the three. It's a terrible idea, but I'm doing it. Eagles laying 3.5. They travel to D.C. to take on the Commanders.
And right now, the Eagles are the best balanced team in football. It's not even close. I mean, they can do it on defense. They can do it on offense. They can throw it. They can run it. They have a quarterback that's multidimensional. I do think this Commander team, however, even though they haven't been great, they have found ways to win. They've found ways to stay relevant and in the playoff hunt. I think that the Eagles will win the game, but I think the Commanders will make it a tight game. So I'm going to take the 3.5 points here, and I'll take the home Commanders.
I know this is against normally what I do, right? Divisional home dog. But, Boomer, that Commander O-line, I mean, Jaden Daniels may not live through this game after what the Saints did to him. Here's the other thing that puzzles me. Maybe you can speak to this. The Commanders go long stretches of complete ineffectiveness offensively. I mean, not just because they blew a 17-0 lead. I'm saying the last 4 or 5 weeks, it does feel like the windows are a little tighter. The coverage is a little tighter. The safeties, they know what's up. They've caught up to Jaden Daniels, and they know what he wants to do. How is that front going to handle Philadelphia? I'm going to take the Eagles and lay the 3.5. I worry about Jaden Daniels' physical well-being here.
Well, I will say about Jaden Daniels, the up-and-down nature, the inconsistent nature, that's a rookie quarterback learning the NFL. It's not an easy job to go through an NFL football game for 4 quarters. It is a game of failure, after all. And how that failure affects you as a player is how you end up playing the game overall. But the one thing about him, I will say, Mike, give him the ball in the fourth quarter, that guy is going to make plays.
Yes.
And if the Eagles let him out of the pocket, which they should not do, that to me is where his advantage lies.
Cards, Panthers. You like failure. Here's the game for you with the Panthers with what they did to us last week. Cards laying 4.5 on the road. I want no part of this game.
Neither do I. I want to totally veto this game. By the way, I was 9-4 last week, and this is the one of those games, the Cowboy-Panther game. We both picked the Panthers. I could have had like a 10-3 week. It would have been unbelievable. A 9-4 week, by the way, is a very good week.
Yes, it is. I can't do this. And look, I took the Cardinals last week laying 6. I'm not tempting fate. I'm out of this veto. Colts laying 3.5, hosting the Titans.
Man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mason Rudolph's going to be playing for the Titans, guys.
That's an upgrade.
That is an upgrade compared to what Will Levis has done. Oh, my God. I mean, low-scoring game here for sure. I'm going to go with the Colts. I am. I'm going to lay the 3.5. And the reason I'm doing that is because of what happened to them in Denver. And I think that Jonathan Taylor is going to try to make up for that here in this game. They're still in the playoff mix. They need this game. If the Colts go on to win all three games and the Broncos lose a game and the Bengals go on to win all three games, I believe in a three-game tiebreaker or three-team tiebreaker between those three teams, the Colts would be the 7th seed in the AFC. So the Colts got something to play for.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Scones, Boomer's got the Matrix over here like American Gangster. He's trying to put Frank Lucas in jail.
I don't like the Colts. Ick.
Yeah. You ready? This is the horror movie. Like, the character's about to die, but they don't know they're about to die. Give me the Titans. Look at what I've just done. Give me the Titans.
Remember Lions the Titans. Laying. Oh, my God.
It's disgusting. I know. Lions laying 6.5. They travel to Chicago.
I'm taking the Bears here. I'm going to take the 6.5 points. I'll take the Bears. I just think the Bears will try to run the ball. They'll try to control the ball. They'll try to eat up as much clock as they possibly can. I don't know what the weather is going to be on Sunday as we sit here right now talking about this, but I'm assuming it is going to be frigid. So give me the Bears, and I'll take the points.
Yeah, look, notoriously, and I know the one time this year it has worked out for Jared Goff when they went outdoors in Green Bay, they won the game. It's going to be cold and windy. It's going to be about 30 degrees, booms. Your wind is like 12 to 15 miles an hour. Doppler Mike weather reports. look, the concern for me is just Lions injuries, man. Without Carlton Davis, Terry and Arnold becomes your lead. You're looking at Vildor on the other side. No Aleem McNeil. I don't think there's next man up there. Look, I think the Lions win. But beating Lion fans have gotten very comfortable just winning games by a zillion points. But the reality is when they've played decent teams, these games have been close. They escaped against the Pack. You know, they escaped against Minnesota. And that's the league. I wonder if they need to escape in their first week without the major injuries they incurred last week. I'll take the 6.5. I'll take the Bears. Atlanta, the Penix debut, laying 8.5 against the Giants. That's how bad it is, people. Guy who's never thrown pass professionally, favored by 8.5.
Well, I will say this, and I've gone on record saying this. You know, he was my favorite quarterback coming out in the draft this year. I loved him. I loved him at Washington the last 2 years. He blew me away with his accuracy. I think he's going to have a huge game here. I think the Falcons are going to pick up their energy. I think the fans are going to be energized. I think they probably sold an extra 5,000 to 7,000 seats just to see Michael Penix debut. Yep. So I love Michael Penix here. I'll lay the points against the Giants, and I'll take Michael.
Let me ask you a question, and maybe you do or don't know the answer. I'm wondering, did the Giants even consider him? Did Joe Shane even consider Penix?
No.
Because the Hard Knocks made it feel like he was never a consideration.
No, he wasn't. The Malik Nabers was always on their board at number one. Unless they could get up into the top three, then it would have either been Drake May or Jaden Daniels. His name never popped up. Bo Nix's name never popped up. So,
that's nice.
The Giants are going to see somebody that they could have had in their backfield, but I expect him to have a nice solid game here against the Giants.
Good. Good. I hope he busts their ass. Give me Michael Penix. I hope he wins by 50. Here is the game. I am leaning on you and Scones. Vikings laying 3 at Seattle with a bad forecast. I'm terrified of this game.
Yeah, you know, Gio, my partner in New York, is a huge Vikings fan. He says he hates the Vikings in Seattle. They always lose in Seattle, especially with the rain and all this other stuff. I mean, these are men. They're playing football indoor, outdoor. Who cares? I mean, I love the way the Vikings are playing, and I know Kenneth Walker's back in the lineup. I don't know how healthy Geno Smith is going to be. He had that knee injury last week. He has practiced this week, much like Patrick Mahomes has done for the Chiefs. I want to take the Vikings here, and I'm going to lay the 3 points to the home dog, and I know that goes against everything that you always model yourself after,
but
except
when
it comes to the Eagles and the Commanders in this week's.
Lean the way you leaned. I wanted to take the Vikings. All right, so you're on the Vikes. Stones, do you bless this selection?
I cannot. Give me Seattle plus the 3. One of the toughest places to play, with or without Geno Smith.
Anymore.
That defense. Okay. Well, you want my opinion? I'm giving it to you, pal. You know, give me Seattle plus the 3. You're giving me 3 points, and I believe it's still one of the toughest places to play. And I like Seattle's defense, regardless of Geno Smith. Give me the plus. Give me Seattle plus three.
This will be good content, Boomer. I'll ride with Boomer, and that way Scones can yell at both of us next week if we're wrong. It'll be good. I told you so. In the post-holiday glow,
I'm angry so you got me going.
I can tell. Ho ho ho! I'll go Vikings.
Hey, I'm just telling you, Mike. You just don't want to get on the wrong side of Brian Ruscona. I've seen it. I've heard it. It gets ugly, and it gets ugly quick. He doesn't wait very long for somebody to get under his skin. It only takes about 3 seconds, and then the reaction is like it's like a nuclear bomb going off.
Listen, that's why he's good at this business. Brian's a foxhole guy. I'm Team Scones. Bills laying 14.5 against the Patriots.
Yeah, give me the Bills all day
there
long.
There you go.
Yep, 100%. Yep.
I apologize if you're a Bills fan. That's how good your team is. We spend 10 seconds on that game. And the Patriots, complete and utter grease fire. Dolphins laying 1 against the Niners.
You know, this. I don't know why this is this way, but I guess it's because the Dolphins are at home. I got to say, Brock Purdy just gave his entire offensive lineman all new trucks, and he's not even making any money yet. Wait until he makes money. He's probably going to give them all private jets. I'm going to take the Niners here.
No Trent Williams, but I'm with you. The Dolphin defense is awful.
Yes.
Awful. Now, you know what's funny? It's not funny, but like I don't know who's running the football for the Niners. Garindo's out now. They're going to be on their 17th running back.
Yeah, but maybe Brock Purdy throws it 50 times.
Oh, that's a
delight.
That means
Deebo Samuel has the ball in his hands a lot as long as he holds on to it.
All right, we're going to try something here. Now, I'm hoping you two are on my side with this. But when you see the Raiders favored over anyone, I think that's damning. Raiders laying 1 against the Jags, and I am going to take the Raiders.
I'm taking the Raiders too, man. I'm right there with
you.
And listen, you and I are taking the Raiders because we want the Giants to get the number one overall pick because we're assuming the Giants are not going to win a game here in the last 3 weeks.
Oh, they better not, or you're going to be doing this show alone. I'm taking personal time.
All right.
They better not.
Yeah, but I will say that, you know, both of these teams have actually played pretty tough. I mean, you know, nobody's given up. Nobody's throwing in the towel there, Brian, as, you know, Scones likes to tell her, you know, they're mailing it in. No, nobody's mailing it in. This is one of those games that I think the Raiders want to win it. The players want to win it. The coach wants to win it. I don't think the owner or the front office wants to win it.
No.
So maybe Aiden O'Connell goes off here against the Jags defense.
All right, weirdest spread of the week. Bucks. Only 4.5-point favorites at Dallas?
That is strange, man. This is a tough one. I want to veto this one. Just, you know, I know it's a meaningful game for the Bucks for sure. I don't know. Baker's up and down. He's all over the place. I love the energy. They're going to win the game, but I just Cooper Rush has actually filled in nicely for Dak Prescott, don't you think?
Yes. I'll ride the Lightning. You veto it. I'll take the punishment. Give me the Cowboys. Okay. It's just odd. The Bucks have been flying high. Got to go on the road again. Give me the 4.5 points. I'm with you. Can't the Bucks just be decent about it, win 28-24, leave us alone? We get the cover. They get the win. Now, the last game, this is a shocker to me, Booms. Packers laying 14 to the Saints. It's the Scones pick of the week. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, give me the Packers laying the 14. You're telling me that a dome team's got to travel up to Lambeau, and I think it's a night game, and it's going to be freezing, it's going to be cold.
Monday night.
Alvin Kamara, Spencer Rattlers at the QB position. Give me the Packers laying 14.
100%. I think we should all be in on this one.
I stand with Scones.
Yeah, me too.
I am joining the two of you. I think they're begging you to take the Saints, and we're smarter than that. So, cutscene, it'll be 28-27. But Packers laying the 14. Next, we get to the game of the week, and it's football the way it's meant to be. Ravens, Steelers, AFC North, hated rivals, signature coaches. This is December football. We do the Sim Spotlight next. Ravens and Steelers, we have got you covered, and an NFC wildcard breakdown. This is Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
It's Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
Best game of the week. We're going to bring out the big guns now. As I said, this is December football. This is like a uniform game, a logo game. These teams hate each other's guts. This is what we're here for. It is the Sim Spotlight, sponsored by Balance of Nature Whole Food Supplements. Visit balanceofnature.com. Phil, welcome. What's going on?
Excited about football. That's what. Great game last night. We got some football tonight, which I'm, you know, college football. Can't wait to watch that. And then Saturday and Sunday, my big rear end won't even move off that couch for 1 second.
Well, I'll tell you what, and there's a reason why. Ravens and Steelers are one of those reasons why. And, hey, look, Mike Tomlin has owned John Harbaugh. He's got a winning record against him, 21-15. These games are always close. Lamar always struggles against the Steelers' 3-4 defense. They're going to come in now with a little bit of a hobble defense that the Steelers are with T.J. Watt. He's going to play. I don't know how effective he's going to be. But I got to believe, internally for the Ravens, like, this is their season, man. This is the team that always gets the best of them, or always seems like it gets the best of them. What do you sense is the Ravens' messaging right now as they get ready and to prepare for this huge game against the Steelers?
Yeah, you know, Boomer, Michael, I think we all know this, that the Baltimore Ravens are a very emotional team. They play that way. You can see it when you watch them. If they don't, excuse the phrase, but I'm going to say it, they have to have red ass when it comes to this Pittsburgh Steelers team. And when I think of this game, the fact that they lost a few weeks ago, the way they played, which was not good, Lamar Jackson did not play well. I'm going to go back to the opening game of the year when Baltimore was playing Kansas City and Lamar Jackson was crazy, throwing, running into people, trying to run them over, because he was trying to get that AFC championship game out of his mind and show something different on the field. I kind of expect to see that from Lamar Jackson, and I think it's going to be exciting. T.J. Watt being nicked up, and I just think the Ravens got to have a better plan, which I think they will. I'll say this. Pittsburgh was playing man-to-man basically in the game and blitzing some, and the Ravens did not do a good job against that. They should do a good job. They got a solid offensive line, a quarterback that can do it all, and good receivers. So I think it's a great game to watch. And as you can tell just by what I'm saying, I think a lot of the Baltimore Ravens in this game.
Yeah, I do too. I think the emotion is going to be on their side for sure. And I also wonder, with the loss of George Pickens now, he's not going to be playing in this game. And we watched Pittsburgh last week. Without him on the field, all of a sudden their offense changes, and it changes dramatically, and all of a sudden Russell Wilson looks average again. So how big of a loss is that in your eyes for the Steelers?
Oh, it's tremendous. I think you're right. It changes the whole football team. Russell Wilson wants to play the game extremely conservative and not take shots or chances where it's tight coverage and trying to make a dynamic throw. You know, he likes to get rid of the ball quick. He's doing a good job making good decisions. But he had that guy that equals it all out in George Pickens, because sooner or later we know the Ravens are going to play some man-to-man coverage, blitz. That's when you got your chances down the field. They've been really good at taking advantage of that. But with him out, just another reason why, as we talk here, that I like the Baltimore Ravens in this game. Lamar Jackson, Boomer, you've heard me say this, and Michael, I've probably said it to you too. He's the only quarterback I know to buy time he goes backwards. And he'll go back. I was watching a game 2 weeks ago. He went back 20 yards behind the line of scrimmage running, and then bought time, moved up, and hit like a 30-yard pass down the field. And the Steelers' defense, they know how to play Baltimore, but without, you know, T.J. Watt out there. And I think the, like you said, the emotion of the Baltimore Ravens, I look for them to have a really good game.
Phil, I want to ask you something, because I want to go back to, you know, Lamar, and you comped it to week one, and he's going to try to do more.
Yeah.
He's going to try to heighten it. But here's my question is, what's like when you watch it, what is it about the Steelers and their defense that he can't figure out that has given him so much trouble as a guy who played the position?
Yeah. Oh, listen, they do a great job. They change it up. They give him a lot of different looks on defense. You know, we always hear this, but I think their blitz scheme, the fact that, you know, the T.J. Watt is a consistent pain in the rear end with a left foot coming from the side he's on, will it hinder him? Maybe he switches sides. That would be one thing. But also the blitzing. You know, the blitzing by the, you know, the Pittsburgh defense is clever. It's caught Baltimore off guard. It really did in that game in week 11. And I would just think Baltimore has to be ready for it, has some answers to it. And we'll see. I hate to keep saying all this, but to me, the game is strictly, can Lamar Jackson, and I heard Boomer, you talking about the weather before, he's weatherproof. It doesn't matter if it's 40-mile-an-hour winds. He's going to throw perfect spirals down the field every time. But Lamar Jackson is just a huge, huge key in this game. And I think he'll put this game on his shoulders and find a way to lead the team to a victory.
Let me tell you why this game is so much bigger for Lamar Jackson than anybody else, because this could be an MVP game for him. He's got 34 pass TDs. He's only got 3 interceptions this season. He's got the 4th highest passer rating, 120.7 in a season all time. This is the kind of season he's having right now. And everybody seems to be thinking, not everybody, but a lot of people think that Josh Allen is running away with this MVP award. I'm saying, whoa, hold on for a second. These numbers that Lamar is putting up are astronomical. They're record-breaking. And if he can win this game against one of the most difficult teams he has to play against, then maybe he vaults himself back into the lead for the MVP. What do you think about that?
Hey, listen, first thing I got, week 11, Pittsburgh at Baltimore, first line, LJ, going to win the MVP. And that's what I think. I think he'll play really well this weekend. He'll finish the year out. And you said it, you know, I like the wins, the losses, all that. That's important to me, too. But his performance is, you know, by far, I think this, not by far, but so far this year, you just can't ignore him. And I know it's the Josh Allen fever right now. But I look for them to struggle, too. You know, when your defense is giving up 40 a game, which they have the last two, that's going to be a big deal. But, Boomer, I'm all over that with you. Lamar Jackson, to me, he is the favorite to win the MVP right now, in my mind.
So, look, I like the Ravens with you guys, but let me just bring up one thing I want your perspective on, fellas. And it is, look, it's a December game. It's a divisional game. This Justin Tucker thing is a thing. If you look at field goals over 40 yards this year, he's only 9 out of 17. The spread is 6.5. I'm going to go with the Ravens. But, like, this Justin Tucker thing, am I wrong to be concerned about this for the Ravens? You can't give away 3 points in a playoff game.
I can't believe that you're actually even bringing this up. This is how bad it's been for Justin Tucker this year. Like, he used to be Mr. Automatic, and he's really legitimately the greatest kicker in NFL history when it comes to his percentages and the length that he can kick from. You know, hopefully he's gotten it straightened out. You know, we didn't hear much about it last week because they just absolutely demoralized the Giants. Correct. And it really wasn't that big of a deal. But in a game like this, it's going to be a big deal. But I don't think the game is going to be that close. That's why the fact that the Steelers are getting 6.5 points tells me a lot. Tells me a lot about George Pickens, what he means to the Steelers. And it also tells me a lot about where the Baltimore Ravens are offensively. I think out of all the teams in the league right now, there are about five teams that present numerous problems to opposing defenses, and the Ravens are right there at the top of that list just simply because of Derrick Henry, because of their wide receiving crew, and because of the movement and the ability of Lamar Jackson.
I'm on
no doubt. And, you know,
Boomer's
you
on
guys,
the Ravens.
I want to go back to this real quick. Justin Tucker, he's got something else to deal with this week. Windy, a little cold. So that's just one more thing to think about. And think about kick, like going to the foul line in a game. It's 2 seconds to go. You're a great foul shooter, but can you relax and do what you do in that position with all that in your head? And that's what I worry about with Justin Tucker. Big moment, wind, a lot of things going on. Does he still have the confidence deep in his own mind to make that kick to win the game? So 6.5 is a lot of points to give up, but reluctantly, I would take the Baltimore Ravens give the 6.5.
All right, we are united. All three of us are on the Ravens laying the 6.5. Phil, appreciate it. We will talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Have a good day. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir. That's Phil Sims. Yes, Boomer, I know. I mentioned a kicker. Hey, I want to ask you this before we run out of time. We have spent a lot of time on that AFC race. The NFC, we hinted at this. The Lions got hammered by injuries this past week. Three high-level players. I wanted to ask this question of, okay, outside of Eagles and Lions, who is the biggest threat in the NFC to upend the whole deal?
Well, it has to be the Rams, because they're the ones that have come out of nowhere, and they are the fourth seed right now. And if Minnesota hangs on to the fifth seed or the Lions drop to the fifth seed, could you imagine going to the Rams and playing that team with the Lions defense right now? And, you know, Matthew Stafford going against his former team. So this is where we are with the Lions. If the Lions, you know, lose out to the Minnesota Vikings and the Minnesota Vikings take over the NFC North, the Lions could end up being the sixth seed. They also could be the seventh seed, depending on what happens with Green Bay. But Green Bay and Minnesota still have to play each other. So, I mean, there's a lot of movement that could take place there. And, you know, watch Seattle. If Seattle loses this week, I think they're probably going to be out of it. But and then if Atlanta does win this week, they can get themselves back into it. I mean, the NFC is crazy right now.
It is. And it's historically good at the top. Look, I think the Lions are going to win this week. I do think they win against San Francisco. Until I see how they look the next 2 weeks, I can't comment about the Minnesota game. So much can happen in 3 weeks. And that finale will decide a lot. I'm just interested, look, with the Rams, with the Vikings, with the Packers, and the Bucks. It's just four teams, and I felt like, look, I'm not disrespecting the Commanders, but it is a rookie QB. I just feel like those four teams, Boomer, you could make a case for each one of them that we've kind of underrated them.
Yeah, and, you know, the interesting thing about the Bucs, they're at the Cowboys. If somehow the Cowboys, with Cooper Rush, who's playing reasonably well, upset the Buccaneers, and Atlanta beats the Giants, they'll both be 8-7. And they'll both have two more games left, as we all know, and it's going to be a wild finish in the NFC South. So I expect the Bucs to win this week. I just didn't want to pick that game just because of the 4-point spread. And I kind of think that Dallas is still playing hard, for the coach and Mike McCarthy. So there's so many things that still have to play themselves out. I just worry about the Detroit defense. That's the biggest worry that I would have right now thinking about the NFC playoffs.
Yeah, and look, shout out Aaron Glenn. I mean, he's done an unbelievable job as the defensive coordinator of this team. I know Ben Johnson gets all the shine, and look, rightfully so. It's a top five offense. But Aaron Glenn's defense, 18 guys on the IR. He's had to come up with solutions. I mean, it feels like they lost Aiden Hutchinson 10 years ago. They came up with solutions. They still were pressuring the quarterback at a 34% rate, which was top three in the league. To lose Aleem McNeil at this part of the season, to lose Carlton Davis, who was having a Pro Bowl caliber year. I'm going to be interested to see what Aaron Glenn, if Aaron Glenn, can come up with another layer of plan on how to do this. Because you get to a point, you're just out of bodies. So, look, Lions, Eagles, Boomer selection, the Rams, the Pack are a team. I continue. There are certain times Jordan Love looks like a top five quarterback. And then there's others. He looks like he hasn't played football before. So we'll sort it all out. There's tiebreakers. There's all kinds of stuff. Boomer, I'll tell you what we'll do is next week, we should start doing some of the playoff scenarios. And I'll lay out the whole matrix, and we'll give you a magic marker and let you go to town.
I would love that, because that's my shine. That's what I love to do this time of year.
All right. And
it's all fascinating for all of these teams.
All right, we'll get it done. Everyone have a wonderful holiday. We are back at it next week. Great football all weekend. We'll do our playoff primer next week. And you know someone who's not supposed to lose is going to lose this week. And we'll cover the whole damn thing. Top to start to finish. This is Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
It's Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.